Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we're going to hit the mailbag. This is where people send me emails about issues that they want to bring up or about stories about themselves. Et cetera, et cetera. It's always interesting to see what the outside world is thinking. When you sit at the top of a financially successful lifestyle, you don't realize what everybody else out there is thinking sometimes. So you want to be cognizant of it when you're speaking to people, especially when you're speaking to people over the radio all across the country. So I like to go to the mailbag. It's usually something pretty interesting. But today we're going to take a couple topics. The first one is somebody sent me an article. And the article states, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, opens door for central bank to accelerate the pace of rate hikes. So, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, the beginning of March, people were thinking that the Fed was going to raise rates probably another 0.25% for the March meeting. And then Powell came out with a speech, and his speech said that he thought that the interest rate position was going to need to be much higher than what it is right now to be able to stem inflation. That it just, they've been raising it, and inflation's still at 6%. And this is like what really happens. I told you guys this months ago that I thought this would happen, that inflation doesn't just go away when you raise interest rates, because inflation is dug in. It gets bred into the system. So if everything I buy is expensive, then I go to my boss and go, I need a raise. And the boss goes, if I don't give these guys a raise, I'll lose them and I'll lose business. So I need to give them a raise. So the boss goes, okay, now that I have to give everybody a raise, I'm going to need to raise the rents to my customers to make it work. And so they raise the rent, so they raise the price of a donut or bread or water, whatever it is they're selling, and stuff gets more expensive. And then as it gets more expensive, people go, well, I need a raise. And it becomes this monster, cyclical monster, where just saying, okay, we're going to stop letting people invest in things and slow down the demand. And that's really where they've got this thing pegged, is that what creates inflation is when too many dollars are chasing too much product. So what they're doing is really backwards in my mind, but, you know, who am I? I don't have the education they do, which I don't think really means anything, because most of them are pretty unsuccessful people other than being working for the government. But they're trying to kill inflation by taking away investment, by making prices of things so expensive that no one will buy anything. No one will buy houses, no one will buy cars, because they can't afford the interest to buy it, because we're a country that buys everything on credit. And so they're trying to kill this monster on the buy side. Whereas what would work much better is if the government would pull the money out of the system. Stop giving away free money. Now, you know, as well as I do, the Democrats are not going to stop giving away free money. It's their whole moniker. It's their whole way of doing business. It's their shtick. It's everything about being a Democrat is just give somebody else's money away, because they're not giving their own away. They're giving away yours and mine. Okay. So because they're not doing it the right way, they're trying to do it the wrong way. Well, after Powell gave that speech, The betting world out there went up to an 80% chance. It was only a 30% chance before he gave the speech that interest rates wouldn't go up 0.25%. They'd go up 0.5%, that they were going to take a big bite out of the apple. And after the speech, 80% of the people out there that were in the know said they thought Powell would go up at least 0.5%, maybe 0.75%. In other words, take another giant bite out of the apple. But then the banking collapse, and whatever that was, Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, and the other bank that went down, collapsed, and they blamed that on interest rates, because obviously, if you've heard this 10,000 times already, and I know it's in every channel of every station, but, you know, bonds were at 1%, and they filled up their portfolio with bonds, and all of a sudden there was a run on the bank for money because of inflation, and the banks had to sell off their bonds at lower prices because bonds were now yielding 5%, 4 and 5%. They were in at 1. That meant the bonds that they were selling were worthless, basically, out on the marketplace. And so they had no liquidity there. I just don't think they've got their arms around this thing completely. So what do we do about it? We realize that interest rates are going to keep going up as long as the Fed sees it that way. Doesn't matter how I see it, the Fed sees it that way, that there's still too much inflation. And so they're going to try to wring the inflation out of the economy by making things more expensive. What does that mean for us? It means they're breaking the economy. The next article, or the next email, I'm sorry, comes from Brandon. He said, says, I thought it might be fun to send you another email follow-up from our last conversation almost 7 years ago. He goes on to say, your teachings over the years have made it possible for me to retire from my corporate job, and we're currently working to retire my wife. So he's out, working on getting enough income to get her out. As preferred members and a lead investor, we have purchased in 2020 and sold again in 2022 a 16-unit apartment in Conroe for a return of 82% in 27 months. So that's a little over 2 years. They made 82% on that deal. We also purchased a 42-unit in 2022 and are currently operating it with good success. We are now looking forward to purchasing our next deal in the 80-unit range and are excited about the opportunity that the current market might provide in months to come. Absolutely. The current market is going to provide lots of opportunity as these artificially created, you know, blow-ups, business blow-ups because of the interest rate change are going to take a lot of people and put them in some bad hurt. He goes on and says, thank you for the insurance pool work you're doing now. What he's talking about is insurance rates have gone up 50% to 100% the last 2 years in a row. So some people's insurance went from $300 a door to $600 a door to $1,200 a door. And some people's have gone from $1,000 a door to $2,000 a door, basically making it almost impossible to make any money at all with your property because of the insurance. This is going up all over the country like that, by the way. So what we're looking to do is to find an insurance company that will take us as a group and build an insurance pool around us. You know, we don't own an insurance company, but they will build this insurance pool, and it will be for our members. This could radically reduce our insurance rates anywhere from 40 to 50% is what we're being told. So that's what we're working to do. And this is something we can do because we have properties. Actually, we looked it up, registered already. We have properties registered from 11 different states, and we have billions and billions and billions of dollars of real estate that we're going to be able to put into this pool if and when an insurance company gets it created for us, which will help all those people all over the country. And we're very happy about that. Well, we are very anticipated about that. We want to see it happen so that a lot of people can be helped. He goes on and says, I have already submitted my assets to the Google form, even though we just renewed at about $1,700 a door. Woo, man, there it is. That's the people we need to help right there. I hope to get in on the pool as soon as feasible. Well, we have basically working out two, a short-term plan and a long-term plan. The short-term plan to get the people that need to renew right now into something, and then a long-term plan where we all can just get in as our renewals come up type of a deal. Pretty complicated thing to do. It's not something just anybody could do. It's not easy. And it takes a tremendous amount of information. It takes people to know what they're doing. We've got some good insurance guys that are working on it for us. but I think it's something that could be very beneficial. Goes on and says, thank you for your continued mentorship that you provide me. I felt need to send this email as you are very important to me, and I have never get a chance to speak back to you about what you do for me and my family. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your appreciation for me. It makes it all worth it. I look at what you're doing, and it reminds me of myself. I started with, you know, houses, and then I went to fourplexes, and then I went to a 10-unit, then I went to a 20-unit, then I went to a, I think it was a 24-unit, then I went to a 30-unit, then I went to a 34-unit, then I went to a 40-unit, then I went to a 64-unit, then a 68-unit, then I went to a 108-unit, then I went to a 134-unit, then I went to a 256-unit, and then I went to a 270-unit, and then I went to a 320-unit. And each one of those was a growth thing for me. I never went larger than 320. I went back down because once I got to 320, it was a behemoth. It was really difficult to manage 300 units. Just think about it. A 10% vacancy, which is a pretty typical vacancy, is 30 vacant units at any one time. I mean, that's just mind-blowing to have to get 30 units ready and 30 units leased in a month. It's just over the top. Now, we have one member at Lifestyles who actually bought an 800-unit apartment complex, which is basically a city in itself. He had to have, I think he said, three different maintenance crews, which makes sense. I mean, you usually have a maintenance crew for 200 units. Actually, you have one for 100 units, but you'd have a larger one for 200 units. If you got 800, that's four. That's basically four maintenance crews you need to run that thing. You'd have to have at least two sales departments, you know, because you just can't, you can't run it out of one. It would be too busy. There's too much going on. He said it was terrible, absolutely terrible. Think about 10% vacancies, 80 vacant units. How do you get 80 vacant units made ready and leased in 1 month? So needless to say, this gentleman, Curtis Haynes, by the way, which is one of our best investors, said, you know, he sold it off and said, hey, learned my lesson, time to go back down. I found that same ceiling to be around 300 units for me. And after that, I said, hey, I want to be less than 300 units. So it's all in what you see and how you can manage and how much you're willing to do. All right, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's going to crash. It's going to be better next year. I've got to listen to four more classes. I love guys come up to me all the time. You know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're doing the emails. We call it the mailbag. And next email is from a gentleman out of Colorado. His name is Damon. Said, use my name if you want. So I'll just use his first name. That's enough. And it goes on and says, I'm struggling with landing my first deal. I reside in Colorado, sorry. I'm finding this market for both single and multifamily homes does not mesh with lifestyle system. So what doesn't mesh about a property, an area, and the lifestyle system? Well, the lifestyle system is based on this premise. You can buy rental property that has positive cash flow and that you can live off of the cash flow. It doesn't, our system doesn't believe that your main goal is to go out and capture capital gains, although we do it all the time. The real goal behind it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, is have enough cash flow coming in every month you can live on. I have put myself in a position, just, I don't know, I hate talking about myself because you can't register it to yourself, but I went out and bought enough real estate that myself and my family can live like millionaires off the cash flow, not off the capital gains, not off the management fees like a lot of the syndicators, but simply off the cash flow for the rest of our lives. And there's nothing more to do. Period. I'm done. Now, I buy something every year just because I want to keep my asset base growing so that I have enough to depreciate to keep the taxes off of it all. But I'm done as far as that. So I think everybody can get to that point, which is what I'm going to talk about here with this email in a minute here. It goes on and says, homes here are very overpriced. One would have to charge upwards $3,500 a month to rent to get a positive cash flow. Let's see here. Not in high demand for these kinds of properties. Okay, so the guy, sometimes people make this mistake. They look to the stuff they want to live in. They go, the stuff I want to live in is too expensive for the lifestyles model to work. So I've sent this gentleman to our mentors and said, let's get a mentor that's good in Colorado and figure out what's really going on. Many times when I get these types of reports or this type of concern, we go back and look at it, and they're just looking at the wrong stuff. Say, well, I wouldn't live in that stuff. And go, well, no, we're not buying it for you to live in. We're buying it for it to be rental properties. And many, many times, I mean many times, I simply go look into the MLS in that area and find tons of stuff that's workable. Maybe the case in this situation. Don't know. We'll find out. We'll get some experts over there to look at it, both on the realty end of it and on the mentoring side of it. And then we'll find out if that's actually the case. Now, it has been the case, like in the past, in like San Francisco and probably some of L.A. or most of L.A. and New York City. The model just doesn't work. The price is way too high, and there's probably negative cash flow. So this guy goes on and says, okay, I make about $130,000 a year. I've got a 401k. I've got perfect credit. And I've got about $750,000, $150,000 in cash and another $600,000 in equity in my home. So he's got about $750,000 to work with. So I just sat down and penciled out how I would look at this thing. And hopefully he's listening and we'll pick this up as a podcast or something. But the way I look at it is this. You make $130,000 a year, but at a 28% tax rate, and it's 28% tax rate, and a 7.5% Medicare and Social Security rate, you're in at 35.5%. I just took 35%, which means that you're netting $84,500 a year. So $84,000 is all you have to replace because you don't need to pay for the taxes and insurance because you're not going to do that if you own rental real estate done the correct way. That comes out to $7,000 a month. Then I said, he says here he's paying into a 401k, so I just assume $500 a month on that. So that brings him down to replacing $6,500 a month in income, which is only $78,000 a year. In other words, to live just like he's living right now, exactly the same way he's living right now, he only needs to make $78,000 in income. So then I went over here and I looked at his money. He's got $750,000. Okay, how do I get to that number, $78,000? And that's simple. With a little math, I need to make a 10.4% return. Now, 10.4% return is simple in single-family real estate. A little bit more challenging in multifamily real estate right now, but in single-family real estate, it is simple to hit 10.4%. We hit it every day. Deal after deal after deal after deal has 10. Some have more. Some have a lot more. So in looking at that, I said, what would that take to get this guy retired? I go, well, if you're buying single-family houses, it's going to take 30 single-family houses to use up the $750,000 to get him to $78,000 a year in income which is post-tax income. Not pre-tax, post-tax, because there is no taxes, right? So to me, it's a done deal. If this guy is willing to do what I would do, he would be retired in some period of time. I'd say 2 years, 3 years, something like that. He'd be able to buy 30 houses. Now, let's say he doesn't want to own 30 houses. I owned 100 houses at one time, actually over 100, but we'll just round it off to 100. So let's say he doesn't want to own that many houses. And, well, let's take one step back. What if those houses don't make that kind of rate of return, 10% in Colorado? Just assume that he's right. Now, I'm not going to assume that he's right, but let's assume he's right. If that's true, then he's got to go some other place. There's places all over the country right now where buying real estate with great rates of return. Not just Texas, by the way. All over the United States, the South, all over the Southern United States, mid-United States, East Coast, we're finding it all over the place, right? Not up in the major blue cities like New York, San Francisco, L.A., et cetera, et cetera. So that's 30 single families. But if he doesn't want to do single families, he could do fourplexes, and that would only take 7.5 fourplexes. So between 7 and 8 fourplexes, he would have the same amount of income coming in. In fact, fourplexes are generally a little more profitable than single-family houses are because you get the same amount of rent for a building that costs you less per unit. So let's say homes are costing $200,000 and you're going to buy four of them, slash buying a fourplex, you might be able to buy the fourplex for as low as $300,000. And by doing that, you know, you save quite a bit per unit and you can get those rate of returns much higher. So seven fourplexes. The most I've ever owned at one time on fourplexes, let's see, were one, two, three, four. I owned four fourplexes. Now, at the same time, I owned single-family houses, an apartment complex, and everything else. But the most fourplexes, I'll tell you what, the fourplexes were not that tough to do. Pretty easy. Almost as easy as single-family. Not quite. There is one thing in a fourplex that a single-family house doesn't have. Generally, it is a common yard that needs somebody to mow the grass because you can't leave a common yard to the tenants to mow the grass. Now, you can't pay one of the tenants to mow it, but somebody has to mow it, right? And you may have a common water system, one common meter, although most of them don't these days, but there might be. So there might be a few twists that make it a little bit more like an apartment, but mostly they're single-family houses. And people move in. And the difference between single-family houses and multifamily houses, for those of you who don't know, the major difference is the major cost of operating a piece of real estate is turnover. When people move out, you got to fix it back up, and then you have to market it and get it back on the market. Single or multifamily housing, the average stay time is anywhere from 1 to 2 years. There's about a 50% turnover rate in multifamily housing, which means about 2 years is the average time a person would stay. That's an average. And there's a lot of stay much longer than that, but there's an average. Okay. Now, in single family housing, I read the other day that the average stay time is 4 years, which is double that. So your cost of turnover is much less. And typically, if you do it right, the clientele that you can put into a house slash fourplex, it's a much higher clientele than what you may have to lease to an apartment, unless you have a Class A apartment. The next email. This is a rather interesting one. It comes from Chris, and he states, in recent years, you have grown lifestyles tremendously. More impressively, you seem to do it almost passively through your team. As a business owner myself, more growth for us means more whack-a-mole, and it's time we build a team that can lead the charge. Question. How did you identify and acquire the talent needed for your growth? Additionally, are you giving up a piece of the pie to make it happen? And how is that structured? This is a great question because really most people build a business that's only as large as what they can handle. And then they end up working as hard as they worked before they owned their own business. For those of you out there that never read the book and you're thinking you want to own a business, you need to get the book by Gerber. And it's called the E-Myth. And the E-Myth, unlike what it sounds, is E stands for entrepreneur. And myth stands for the fact that most people who think they're entrepreneurs really aren't entrepreneurs. Most people, take a skill that they have and they turn it into a job. And that job becomes a business. That's not really how entrepreneurial works. What entrepreneurs do is they find a need that needs to be solved, needs to be satiated for customers, and then they put together a business that does that. The trick is to do that without you being on the org chart. And about the only place that you can be on the organizational chart and be safe is as CEO at the very, very, very top. But that's only if you have somebody in between you that is the president, vice president, supervisory and managerial personnel in between. Otherwise, you get stuck doing everything. And some people, even at the top, still stick their nose into everything. Now, luckily, somewhere along the line, I figured out that there's only two types of people, those willing to work and those willing to let them. And I very quickly went from being those willing to work when in my younger years to those willing to let them in my midlife years. When I figured out if I don't let other people do the job, that it's not going to, I'm never going to be free. And the first step with that is understanding that you're going to do it at about a 95% effectiveness rate because that's what you've chosen to go into in your life. You know it pretty well. And the people you hire can do it no better than 90% because they don't know it as well as you do. They don't have the insight that you have that made it possible for you to own the company. If they had 95 or 100% effectiveness insight, they'd start their own company. I had a boss one time said, Del, I was coming to him and said, why do we keep hiring all these stupid people? I mean, come on, man. I got to take care of these people like rounded up cats. And he said, Del, be thankful you have cats to round up. If there weren't stupid people, Del, I wouldn't need you to work for me to take care of all those people. So when I was in your position, I used to take my weird, crazy, wacko people who couldn't get to work on time. I'd pick them up in the morning with donuts in my car. So they'd get in my car, would come to work, and I'd have a staff. Said, you got to be thankful for those people because if they weren't there, you wouldn't be at the top. There's no way to be at the top if there's not people at the bottom. And I kind of took that to heart. I understood that you can't look at people and say, you know, you're going to be perfect. It just doesn't happen. Having said that, the structures that I've set up are probably different than most companies, but we'll take a look at them anyway. Maybe there's something you can use from this. First of all of my upper level people, every single person at Lifestyles that is a consultant or a mentor or a vice president of something, any one of my probably 20 or 30 different divisions in this company, have all been members of Lifestyles, period. They're all already successful. They're all self-starters that retired themselves from corporate America. Say, well, if they retired themselves, why do they want to come back? Because there's some people that just get bored being retired, and they want to do the thing they grew their skill to do their whole life, but they don't want to live under tyranny. And so when I offer them a place that they can work with no tyranny, they jump at it. They go, that's great. Now I can do this and help people and give back and do what I love to do and yet have my life because there are no working hours that – and this job, we basically work when we need to get it done, and that's it, right? Second group of people are independent contractors. All my real estate companies have realtors that are independent contractors. So they're not employees. And if they don't like what we do, we don't like what they do, we send their license back to track or back to a real estate commission and say, we don't want this employee anymore. They go away, right? So independent contractors, and you can't do that in all employees. You can only do it in certain jobs, but in the realty business, that's really effective. The next one is company partnerships. There are many different businesses that I own that I just simply bought the whole business away from somebody else or went into business with somebody else that was their expertise. And in those particular cases, I own at least 51% of every company that I've ever bought away from people or bought into with people and various different amounts, but nothing less than 51%. So I have the managing authority. Since I'm bringing the money, the backing, the payroll, the people, the marketing, everything that makes that business run, they have to just run the business. And they take that over, and they've been doing it before I bought them out or doing it before we started something together, so I already know they can do it, and it's not really a problem. The last people we're talking about here are just basic employees that do basic skill sets. They're starting out in their career, and they're learning basic skill sets and working their way up in corporate America. I have found that in these particular situations that most of my management team, most of my VPs are females. Now, I didn't do that per se on purpose. Just happened that these people rose to the top. Why I think they rose to the top is women seem to have two things that a lot of men don't have for lower employees. And that is one, empathy for them. And number two, insight. They've been lied to by the best, their kids, right? So the bottom line is they've got a lot of insight out there and they use it well. Well, my friends, I hope you learned something today. And remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.